RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So on Friday, we had from Te Pāti Māori, Takuta Ferris on the program. He was making the case for his proposed members' bill that would make Waitangi Tribunal decisions binding on the Crown, and we talked about the seabed and foreshore as well. So we thought we'd invite New Zealand First Cabinet Minister Shane Jones, Minister for Regional Development, Minister for Resources, Associate Minister of Finance, Associate Minister for Energy on the program to respond to what Takuta Ferris is proposing and maybe cover a few other things if time allows. Shane Jones, welcome back to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Kia ora. Greetings, folks.
Okay, so could it ever work in any universe that Waitangi Tribunal decisions could be binding?
No, the Waitangi Tribunal is a recommendatory body. In my view, it has substantially outlived its usefulness. And why New Zealand First is pushing the coalition partners to undertake a review is to refine the mandate and confirm the new writ for the Waitangi Tribunal for the next stage of its life. It's been around for 50 years, and one shouldn't deprecate the work that it has done, but more recently it's been like an expeditionary force which is suffering mission creep. The only area where the Waitangi Tribunal has compulsory powers is it can order the Crown to transfer land under the SOE Act to Treaty of Waitangi claimants. But the notion that it should have a generic power forcing the Crown to follow the dictates of the Waitangi Tribunal, that is philosophically not where our party is at. And practically, I think it'll be just a shambles.
Everything has a use-by date. Will the Waitangi Tribunal ever have one?
Most certainly. It's not a high court. It's not the Court of Appeal. It's not the Supreme Court. It is a forum that was established by Matsudata and the then Labor government to explore how the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi are to evolve, are to be applied in respect of actions historic and current. And at the moment, because MMP politics is throwing up small parties, and those parties have quite strong expectations translated through their manifestos, transported, if they're lucky enough, into coalition agreements, for those reasons, it shows that the Waitangi Tribunal has taken upon itself to be an arbiter as to whether or not the reform options that the small parties like New Zealand First bring forward are consistent with its views as to how the Treaty of Waitangi should be applied when the Crown uses its political power, whereas we derive our legitimacy from an electoral experience, and we accept that the Treaty is our foundation document and historical grievances ought to be dealt with reasonably and fairly, but after that, all hapu and iwi should join the economic rat race that the vast majority of the members are involved in anyway, and together grow the country, not create divisiveness, most certainly not convert the treaty into some type of creed that is designed to dismember the state or sow seeds of disunity. That is the opposite of what New Zealand First believes.
Well, that came across talking to Takuta Ferris, and I guess by extension applying to the Māori Party, that he kind of viewed it like there are two teams. There's the Māori team and there's everyone else, and, you know, there's kind of the split down the middle, and it's almost like there are two sovereign entities working in some kind of parallel. That came through very clearly. Is that the division, potential division? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? That's the division that you're talking about.
The Treaty of Waitangi is a document that is insoluble. It cannot be melted down into two parts. It is bicultural. It is bilingual. but it is indivisible, just as our citizenship is indivisible, just that our nationhood is indivisible. And I think it's really sad that a lot of revisionists have got hold of the treaty and are trying to promote this dualism through parliamentary politics and the forlorn belief that our future lies by creating and enjoying a constitution that contemplates two separate polities. Not only that is that incompatible with the treaty, it is a guaranteed route to disaster. And with every fiber in my being, that type of polarization will be opposed. And if the Māori Party keep promoting that, I can guarantee you many of those current members will not be around the next parliament.
Shane, they must know all that already, though, right?
Well, I think the difficulty is that Tākuta, who by all accounts is a well-educated young man, and
he's
from
very
a well-known
eloquent, speaks whānau. Very well. Yeah.
Yeah. So very, very well-known whānau, the theorist whānau. But look, they're running an ideology that has been fed by revisionism, and it's come to pass that this is the new fad that the Māori Party has seized upon. It's a fad that has very shallow roots amongst a tiny minority of the Māori population, and no doubt they're hoping to use their political existence as a platform to radicalise a new generation and to cause them to believe that they have no future in New Zealand unless New Zealand is dismembered. I repeat, that is wrong in fact. It is a hideous interpretation of the Treaty of Waitangi, and it will go the way of its proponents at the next election.
This might be a long bow to draw, but I'm just watching, and we all are, what's happening in the UK at the moment and in other places in the world, and we have immigration to a certain level, but also we have a disaffected part of the population, and when it kicks off, it's not pretty. And talk of division can fan those flames. Do you have any worry that we could end up having problems like that here?
Oh, I think we already have problems. We have a strong feral element within New Zealand society who gravitate towards the call of the gangs. Now, at this stage, the gangs haven't politicized or given themselves a sense of consciousness, as is the case in Lebanon. But we shouldn't sugarcoat the fact that we have very serious problems with the fusion of general antisocial gang behavior with drug trade. And now it has been turbocharged by the arrival of criminals from Australia who no doubt have long-standing contacts with far more volatile and dangerous places around the world. I don't think Kiwis are quite as aware as how I see the situation. Fortunately, it's salvageable, but it will require a robust response so that these feral elements that are blighting both the Māori people but the broader community are brought to heel and locked up. And if they lock them up for a long period of time so the rest of us can be safe.
Can you update us on progress regarding removal of mentions of the treaty principles from legislation as per the coalition agreement? How's that going?
Well, obviously, David Seymour has his bill. We are proceeding to revert the Takutai Moana, the seabed and foreshore legislation, back to what Parliament intended in 2011-2012, and we're about to begin some work on restoring the Treaty of Waitangi to what was originally contemplated, not as a mock House of Lords, nor as a political arbiter as to what is appropriate in terms of the types of innovations and policies that political parties such as New Zealand First bring back into the Crown work program. The outstanding area is, it's with the Minister of Justice, is to go step by step through the various Treaty of Waitangi references, establish those that don't belong there any longer or where they ought to stay, give them greater specificity. So that's That's work in progress with the Justice Minister.
Are you surprised at the intensity of the overhang from the previous government in the way it seems to permeate the institutions, and undoing that sounds to me more and more like quite a job, unbundling?
I think what's happened is because the courts have become very seized of these issues, and we've done quite a radical thing. We've overturned a Court of Appeal decision. And I think that has stunned a lot of these identities and stakeholders that have been at the center of the creep and the indiscriminate spread of Treaty of Waitangi references with no authority, no mandate, no legitimization from garden variety, ordinary Māori folk. They don't even know these things have been done in their name. And many of them are driven by a small group of academics, and they're disconnected from the daily lives of blue-collar, middle-class, as I said, bog-standard whānau.
Mm, that's us. Before you go, electricity prices, we learnt yesterday that workers at Winstone's Pulp and Paper Timber Mills at Ohakuni have been told to lay down their tools. 300 people are employed there. Soaring electricity costs mean it's become too expensive to keep the mills running. Didn't we build all that electricity infrastructure back in the day so we could, you know, do these sorts of things, employ people, keep them in jobs? I mean, what's happened here? What's gone wrong?
Well, the electricity industry has been hijacked by a narrow range of corporate interests and their managers, and they're called the gene tailors, and they are holding industry to ransom. And in my view, the entire electrical institutional settings are overdue for a dose of salts. This has had to be visited upon the supermarkets. It's been done to the banks through the parliamentary inquiry. And it's about time that the electrical market settings suffered a similar course of a diet of prunes.
Okay, because it's a national security issue, isn't it? Energy, in the end. We can't be put in this position. I mean, people accept that you've got to pay reasonably to keep everything, the turbines, turning. But when you're looking at 300 people potentially out of work in a small town of 1,000, it's sort of crazy time a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not only security, it's solvency. So something has gone seriously awry in the electricity market in New Zealand.
Shane Jones, thanks for coming back on, and always look forward to having a chat, and look forward to the next one. Thank you.
Okay, mate.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.